His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are in Matthew, the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in chapter 10. We're going to complete chapter 10 this evening and go into chapter 11. Last time we stopped at verse 39 of Matthew chapter 10, which says, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." So Jesus was saying, if our lives are founded on the principles of this world, we will lose it. So we are going to lose this life that we are used to or that we are holding on to. But if we choose to give up the worldly lifestyle for the sake of Christ, we will find a new life in Christ Jesus, which is the higher life. And that's a life, people of God, that you and I should really want to live, the higher life, the new life in Christ Jesus. We will find that life in him, the new life in Christ Jesus, the abundant life, the eternal life that is in him. So we're going to pray and begin this evening. Father, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your love towards us. Your word said, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you for this privilege to come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made at the cross, Jesus, dying so that we might live. And because you live, we live. We thank you for the hope we have in you, O God. And we just thank you, O God, that your word is alive and active and your word transforms us. So as we come, O God, to hear your word, we pray that you will give us an open mind, that we will receive what you are saying to us this evening, and that we will apply it unto our lives. We will apply it, O God, so we can walk in righteousness. We can walk in wisdom. We can walk as children of light. Father, we thank you again for your word to us, and we thank you for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will illuminate your word to us, O God, that we will go forth and not stumble. For your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we give you honor and we give you glory and praise as we look to you and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see, people of God, we go on to verse 40. Verse 40 of Matthew 10. He said, "He who receives you," Jesus continued his discourse with his disciples, and the word remained for us today. "He who receives you, receives me. And he who receives me, receive him who sent me." So Jesus was saying that he who receives the disciple, the messengers of Christ, receive him. And he who receives Christ has also received the Father who sent him. So we see, people of God, when we receive Christ, we automatically receive God the Father who sent him. The word tells us that through the blood of Jesus, we are reconciled to Abba Father. So we see where Jesus was saying to the disciples, those who receive you, receive me. And he who receives Christ has also received the Father who sent him. So people of God, many times we go and people do not receive us. And we feel offended. We feel rejected. But let us remember that it is Christ that they are rejecting. If they do not receive the messenger, they do not receive Christ. So they are rejecting Christ, people of God. And many times we as the messengers become offended. But let us go forward with the word of truth and know that we will be rejected for the name of Christ. Many do not want to receive Christ. Many do not want to change. People of God, Jesus means change. When we come to Christ, we have to change our old way of living. We have to lose the old life and find the new life which is in Christ Jesus. So people of God, many people don't want to lose the old life. Many people want to cling to the old way of living. Not many want to change. So many will reject the message of salvation. Many will reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it means that we are going to be changed. Our minds have to be renewed. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to conform to the image of Christ Jesus. How many wants to change? So we have to come to understand, people of God, as Jesus was saying to his disciples, if they reject you, they reject me. And they automatically reject the Father. For if you reject Jesus, you reject the Father. You can't say you reject Jesus and then you have the Father. It's not so. It doesn't work like that. You reject Jesus, you reject the Father. So we have to come to understand the truth of God's word and come to know that it's not us when we go as messengers of Christ. If they reject us, it's not us they're rejecting, it's Christ. They hate him without a cause. He means change. And many do not want to change, people of God. So we have to understand and continue to proclaim the good news. Proclaim it from the housetop. Make it clear. Make it loud and clear that many will hear, and those who receive it will profit from it. But those who do not receive it will go into everlasting damnation, everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. People of God, those who reject the good news of salvation will end up in that lake of fire, because salvation came to all of humanity. But those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, have eternal life. Eternal life. But those who do not put their trust in Jesus, they are going to be punished eternally in that lake of fire. People of God, the Lord is calling us to know and understand the truth of his word, and know that if we hear and don't accept, then we are putting ourselves in trouble. People of God, hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for people. But many chose not to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, and they will end up right there in hell. So God is calling us, people of God, to continue to proclaim the good news, and to know that those who reject us, they are rejecting Christ, and they also are rejecting Abba Father. Look at verse 41 of Matthew 10. Jesus continues. He said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So Jesus was saying that he who accepts the prophet as a prophet receive a prophet's reward. So a prophet will come, and you realize and you receive him as a prophet. You know that the words that he is speaking are truly prophetic words, that those words are coming from God, and you receive him and you accept the word that come. Jesus said you're going to receive a prophet's reward. And he who accepts a righteous man as a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So we see, people of God, the reward will be according to the acceptance of the messengers of God. The reward will be according to the acceptance of the messengers of God. So when the prophet comes with a prophetic word, and you know and you receive that prophetic word, and you believe that what he's saying is true, the man of God comes with the word and you receive it, then you are going to get that reward. That reward, Jesus said, is a prophet's reward. And you who receive a righteous man, knowing that this man is coming from God, this man is of God, will also receive that righteous man's reward. This reward will be according as you have received the messenger of God. Look at verse 42, people of God, which is the last verse in Matthew chapter 10. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So Jesus was speaking, continued to speak to his disciple, whoever give one of these little ones, whoever give something as simple as a cup of cold water to any of Jesus' disciples, it is a certainty, people of God, that they will be rewarded. Their reward is certain. It is sure. I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Just by giving one of his disciples a cup of cold water. Jesus was saying, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. A cup of cold water, people of God, something as simple as a cup of cold water. Most homes you go to will have water. If they don't have anything else, they'll have water. And just by simply giving a cup of cold water to one of Jesus' disciples, his word said you will not. It's a certainty that you will not lose your reward. It's a certainty that you will be rewarded for this act of granting even a cup of cold water to one who is called by the name of Jesus, to one who is walking and following Jesus and bringing forth the message of the kingdom. People of God, we have to come to understand that whatever we do for Jesus will last. Whatever we do for Jesus will bring forth dividends, will bring forth rewards. Whatever we do for Jesus, people of God, it will surely count. It's of eternal value. Whatever we do for Jesus, we have to understand our account will be rich. We might not have a rich account down there. Down here on earth, we might not have a lot of money in our account here, but think of the deeds that we are doing, people of God. The deeds that we are doing for the kingdom of God. Surely our heavenly account is full. It is rich. We are wealthy because of what we are doing in the name of Christ. So people of God, let us come to understand that we are called to do the will of Christ. We are called to walk in his ways. We are called to be hospitable to his people as he sends them out, his messengers as he sends them out. Even a cup of cold water given to one of Jesus' disciples, Jesus said, you will be rewarded for it. So we have to come to understand that his word is truth, and whatever he says he will do. So let us continue to do the good work of the kingdom, and let us continue to receive God's messengers and treat them right, and surely we will have our reward. So we have come to the end of chapter 10, and we are going on to Matthew chapter 11, the gospel writings of Matthew chapter 11, and we are going to verse 1. Verse 1 says, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. So we see, people of God, that Jesus had just finished commanding his disciples. He was sending them out to witness. So he was instructing them as to how to really approach this work of a missionary, how to go forth and to present themselves as his representative. So he was instructing them as to how to conduct themselves on the missionary journey. So we see, people of God, the word said he had finished commanding his disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. So Jesus continued to preach and to teach while he sent them out. And look at verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So people of God, we see John was taken a prisoner. He was now in prison for no misdeed that he has done. He hasn't done anything wrong, people of God. He just spoke the truth. He just spoke the truth that Herod was an adulterer because he was with his brother's wife. And he was arrested for that and put into prison. And he was in prison, people of God. What the word said, he sent two of his disciples. And verse 3 said, and said to him, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? People of God, this is serious. John, the word tells us in John 1:29, 34. John 1, 29, 34, the word tells us that John saw Jesus, the same John the Baptist, and it was revealed to him that Jesus is the Messiah. But look on what John sent to ask Jesus. Are you the coming one? Are you the coming one? Or should we look for another? So people of God, we are going to refer to John 1. John 1, 29 through 34. John 1, 29 through 34. The word of God tells us, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. People of God, look at what John said. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. People of God, these are the words that John spoke, John the Baptist spoke before he was imprisoned. I've seen and known and testified that this is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This was revealed to me that he is the promised Messiah. He is the sent one. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the Savior. So we see, people of God, John had the revelation of who Christ is. But look on what, John was now under severe pressure, intense pressure. John was under a lot of stress. He was imprisoned, people of God. He was not guilty of any wrongdoings, but he was imprisoned by Herod the king. So we see doubt started to build up in his heart. Doubt started to build up, people of God. And that's what happens when we are under pressure. Many times we forget the word that God has spoken to us. Many times we forget the revelation that was given to us because of pressure. John was under great pressure. He was imprisoned. He did not know what was going to happen next. So he sends his two followers to inquire of Jesus if he was the coming Messiah. The same John who said, I bear witness that he's the one. He is the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. John got the revelation, but under severe pressure, John started to doubt. John heard about the mighty works that Christ was doing. And we see where John knew that Christ had the power to release him from prison. But he did not see anything happening. So he sends to inquire, are you the one? Are you the one, Jesus? Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? So we see, people of God, we can feel that sense that John was offended that Jesus did not come to release him with all the mighty works that he has been doing. John heard about the mighty works, the word said. John heard about all the works that Jesus was doing. And if Jesus could do all those mighty works, that means Jesus could release him from prison. But it wasn't done. So John started to doubt. Even though John had the revelation of who Christ is, people of God. And many of us are in the same situation when we are going through undue pressure, when we are under great stress, when we are under great persecution and suffering, we start to wonder. We start to wonder, did he truly call me to go on this journey? Or did I pick up and go by myself? Was it he who called me? Because when we are going through, people of God, doubts will creep in our heart. And we don't want to stray from the word of God. But we want to continue to know and understand that the revelation that he has given us is for us to continue on the path, to continue to do the work that he has called us to do. John had the revelation, but under great pressure, John started to doubt whether or not Christ was truly the Messiah. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Look at Jesus' response, people of God, in verse 4 of Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 4, the word said, Jesus answered and said to them. So Jesus spoke to the disciples. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. So Jesus was saying, let my work speak for me. Let my work speak for me. Go tell him the works that you see I do. Go tell him what you hear and see. Look at verse 5. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So Jesus said, go back to John. Tell John the things which you hear and see. You are here as witnesses. You are seeing and hearing what is being done. So go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell John that. And look at verse 6, what Jesus said, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus, who knew the hearts of men, he knows our hearts, knows when we are offended. People of God, and we see John Stone in the previous verse shows that he was offended. Are you the coming one, or should we look for another? John was offended. If Jesus was doing all these mighty works, then he has the power to release John the Baptist. But this was not to be, people of God. God's sovereign will has to be done. And many times, children of God, we are in situations and we want to be out of it now. Lord, I want to come out now. But Jesus says, stay a little longer, endure to the end of it. You're going to be rescued, but endure to the end. And people of God, the Lord is calling us to understand that his sovereign purpose, his sovereign will has to be done in our lives. John, people of God, we see he was offended. His tone in that verse, the words that he sent, shows that he was offended. Are you the coming one, or should we look for another? So Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed there means happy or favored. Happy or favored is the one who is not offended by Jesus Christ. Happy or favored is the one who is not offended by Jesus Christ. Those are the words that the Lord sent back to John the Baptist. And look at verse 7 of Matthew 11. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? So Jesus was now speaking about John and speaking good things about John, even though John sent to question whether or not he was truly the Messiah. Jesus was here to speak good things about John. He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? So Jesus was using a figurative language here in this verse. So what Jesus was really saying was, John was no weakling. John was not like a little reed, a little grass, what is the wind will be tossing to and fro. John was no weakling. John was no pushover. He was a force to reckon with. John was a man passionate for the work of the kingdom. John would speak the truth and was not afraid to scold even the religious leaders. He called them a brood of vipers who need to have fruit of repentance, need to show that they have repented. So he was no pushover. He was no little reed out there shaken by the wind, as Jesus used this figurative language. John was no weakling. John was no pushover. John was strong in the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was a force to reckon with. So that's what Jesus was really saying to them. Verse 8, but he continues to speak about John. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. So Jesus was saying, John wasn't dressed up in all those fine clothes as one that is in a king's palace. Those people have to dress well to go before the king. John was out there in the wilderness. The word tells us, literally in a wilderness, he was out there in the wilderness along the Jordan River preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching for people to come and repent before God. So John was out there clothed, people of God, in camel's skin. That was what was used for his clothing. It was made of camel skin. And he would wear those clothing and out there in the wilderness preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus was saying, what did you expect? To see John clothes in fine clothing like he was in a king's palace? No. John was that voice out there in the wilderness proclaiming the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Look at verse 9. He said, Jesus continued to speak about John. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. So Jesus was saying that John's office was higher than a prophet's. John's office was the office of the messenger. That messenger that would go forth and prepare the way of the Lord. That's who John the Baptist was. His office was even higher than the office of a prophet. He was that messenger that the prophet spoke about, that he would go before Jesus, the Messiah. He would prepare the way of the Lord. He would herald in the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the new covenant which Jesus brings. So people of God, Jesus was there commending John, even though John was doubting and asking, are you the one or should we look for another? So we see, people of God, Jesus was still commending John the Baptist and was telling that John's office was even higher than the office of a prophet. He was that messenger that was called to herald in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God bless you here this evening. We'll stop here and we'll continue next week, God's willing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. May we apply your word and go forth being transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend and blessings to you all. Amen and amen. In the
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible teaching ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.